The church appoints this psalm as a psalm that's very appropriate for this day and this week. And it gives another point of view. So I will take the odd verses and ask you to do the even ones. Psalm 31. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. I will exalt and rejoice in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have taken heed of my adversities. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye wastes away from grief, my soul and body also. I am the scorn of all my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. For I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Do not let me be put to shame, O Lord, for I call on you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them go dumbfounded to Sheol. Oh, how abundant is your goodness that you have laid up for those who fear you and accomplished for those who take refuge in you in the sight of everyone. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was beset as a city under siege. Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts haughtily. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. Pretty clear to me why the church has chosen this psalm for Palm Sunday. Jesus is riding the donkey into a city that will kill him. That is a profound act of one whose heart takes courage. According to the Gospel of Luke, he can already foresee what will happen, how everything will unroll. The Son of Man must undergo great suffering, he says, and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed. It is, in a way, the recurring and inevitable clash between God's servant and God's rebellious people. Yet Jesus faces this squarely. He does not turn aside. He rides right into the inevitable trouble. Man, that's courage. You have any stories about courage? Here's one. When we took our three daughters to Scotland, I promised we would not wear them out with a lot of sightseeing. Here's the agenda, I said. One island, one cathedral, one castle. The island was the mystical island of Iona, which did not impress them at all. They were more impressed with the puffins who were swimming alongside of the boat. The cathedral was the Glasgow Cathedral, a big empty church, one of them said. They were far more impressed with the necropolis, the enormous hilltop cemetery that gave you a great view of the whole city of Glasgow. But the castle was the Stirling Castle. And they agreed, that's pretty cool. They gazed at the tapestries in the great hall. They sized up the suits of armor along the walls. And they stared at the skull of a medieval soldier who must not have been wearing a helmet. We walked out among the ramparts, gazing out toward the River Forth and the foothills of the Highlands. One of them pointed across the valley. Oh, what's that? I said, that's the National Monument to William Wallace. Who's that? I said, I'm glad I didn't say. You should see the movie Braveheart. I thought, no, that's not a movie I want our daughters to see. So I simply said, he was one of the great freedom fighters of Scotland in a very brutal time. He fought valiantly against Edward I. His death became the inspiration by which Robert the Bruce would win the country's freedom in the Battle of Bannockburn. His death, one of them said, how did he die? Again, that was not something I wanted to describe to the women of my family. I simply said it was a brutal death. Let's leave it alone. And I thought about his courage, captured near Glasgow, knew his end was near, taken to a prison cell in London, and yet the whole time remained strong and courageous, come what may. Do you have any stories about courage? Here's the biblical story of Jesus riding down the hill into a city he loves. He has set his face toward Jerusalem for this whole second half of the Gospel of Luke. It is clear he knows what that will mean. There is no premonition that things will turn out well, no easy assurance that the opposition will disperse or the troubles will evaporate. Yet he goes into the city, and it is an amazing act of courage. Have you ever thought about that? How courageous Jesus must be. I mean, the road is easy when the crowds are cheering and everybody is excited to see you. They celebrate the great work he has done. They start singing at the top of his lungs when he appears. And there are always critics around the edges. The Pharisees, some of them don't want any trouble from the Romans during the Passover holiday. Some of them say, teacher, tell your disciples to be quiet, and Jesus keeps going. He comes around a bend in the road and sees the whole city spread out before him. He stops the donkey to wipe the tears from his eyes. The crowds are still cheering behind him, but ahead of him is trouble. Before Jesus ever appeared on the scene, one prophet after another had gone into the holy city to tell the truth about God. None of them had a pleasant time of it. Many of them didn't live to tell about it. Jesus knows this, and he keeps writing. It's the courage of the Christ that connects to that painful psalm that we put into the air a few minutes ago. If we were to simply hear that psalm, apart from this week, we'd think, here's a person in a whole lot of trouble. Be gracious to me, O God, for I am in distress. My eye wastes away in grief, my soul and body also. I am the scorn of my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. They scheme together, they plot to take my life. I mean, holy cow. And this is the kind of psalm we normally skip over. It begins and ends cheerfully enough, but in between things are not going to work out very well. The probability of embarrassment is high. Humiliation is going to happen right out in the public square. And it's tempting to skip over all of this and move on to something cheerful. Just like it's always tempting to skip from the hosannas of Palm Sunday to the alleluias of Easter. And in between, you miss the plain fact that somebody got into trouble and they lost their life. And that's what Jesus, with all courage, rides downhill to face. Why does he do it? Clearly, this is somebody who trusts in God. He looks to the Lord and says, "My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love." And there's no question in my mind that Jesus prayed this psalm as he enters the city one last time. Why do I say that? Well, I know he knew the psalms. He certainly knew this one. And on his last breath on the cross, he recited verse 5. "Into your hand I commit my spirit." No, he didn't make that up. It was in his prayer book. It's a prayer of quiet trust on the order of, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep." It's the final laying down of arms, the affirmation that no matter how real the darkness, God is in the midst of it. The God who will make things right. Now, just that alone offers a lesson for us, a lesson on prayer, especially in Holy Week. When we come upon these honest, difficult psalms, pray them anyway. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German martyr, said, "Don't ever dismiss the psalms that speak of pain, especially even if you're having a good day. Read them anyway. Read them as the prayer of Jesus Christ." As he wrote in one of his books, "It is the incarnate Son of God who has borne every human weakness in his own flesh, who here pours out the heart of all humanity before God, who stands in our place and prays for us." And the bottom line of that prayer is this: "Lord, into your hand I commit my spirit. Save me in steadfast love." I don't know if you know much about Bonhoeffer, but he knew that firsthand. He was in the Nazi prison camp. He'd been put there for working to get rid of Adolf Hitler. And in his final days, he scratched out one more poem. It was a psalm, really. The words were made into a song in our hymnal. "By gracious power, so wonderfully sheltered and confidently waiting, come what may, we know that God is with us night and morning and never fails to greet us each new day. Yet is this heart by its old foe tormented, and evil days bring burdens hard to bear? O give our frightened souls the sure salvation for which, O Lord, you taught us to prepare. And when this cup you give is filled to brimming with bitter suffering hard to understand, we take it thankfully and without trembling out of so good and so beloved a hand." And when he had finished writing these words, Bonhoeffer stepped out of his cell to face his accuser and move toward the gallows. The threat was real, the end was certain, but he had courage because he trusted in God. So what's the connection for us? What are the challenges in front of you as we step into this Holy Week? Maybe there aren't any visible enemies out there conspiring to take you down, or maybe there are. Just a week ago, one of my friends sat right here on this first pew on an afternoon when none of the rest of us were around. She was feeling overwhelmed and said, "What should I pray?" I offered her the prayer known as the breastplate of St. Patrick, which we've heard a number of times during this season of Lent. Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me. You name the power of God in every direction as a way to trust that no matter what, we are loved and we will persist. She said the prayer helped. When she left about an hour later, she stood a little taller. Courage is not a character trait that we pull out of the air. It's a gift we tap from a great reservoir of trust. I know if we live it through enough challenges, I suppose we can trust our own strength and move ahead with confidence. With time and proper mending, the woman who breaks her leg can walk again. The kid whose friends abandoned him will make other friends. The guy who loses his job can find something else purposeful to do. But the deepest courage in our hearts is a gift from God. And it comes from the gift of hearing and trusting the good news that our times are completely in God's hands. And we don't ever have to be afraid. Think of my friend and mentor, Dick Armstrong, who passed away March 11th at the age of 94. He's one of my seminary teachers. We kept in touch. He wrote some scripture-based poems, gave them to me. I set a couple of them to music. One of them's downstairs in the file of choir anthems. I heard he had pancreatic cancer and went to visit him in October. I walked into the assisted care facility, and here he comes on his walker, coat and tie, his hair combed back like he's going to an interview. Big smiles, big hug, how you doing? He pointed to a piano over there in the lobby, and he sat down and played a duet. We played Whispering, key of E flat. He insisted on buying my lunch. It was a great reunion, the last time we were together. At one point, we talked about his disease. We both knew it was terminal, but at that point, he sat up in his chair, he clasped my hand, looked me straight in the eye, and said, "That's why I put on a coat and tie every single day. It's my protest against this disease, and the day I stop dressing up is the day I give up, and I am not going to give up." I'll never forget that moment. Final lesson from teacher to student, from friend to Christian brother. It comes down to courage. To look squarely at death, destruction, sin, and despair and declare, "You have no power over me." And then you look through them to the God who made us and loves us. And then you say to anybody with ears to hear, "Love the Lord, all you who strength his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful. Be strong, let your heart take courage." And then tonight, after the glad songs evaporate and the shadows lengthen and you prepare to close your eyes and sleep, you can pray with Jesus one more time. In your hand, I commit my spirit.